You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Monday the 21st of December 2020, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at RadioAlbion.com. It's the winter solstice today, and we have four more days to go until Christmas, and I expect some of you are wondering what the Radio Albion programmes will be over the Christmas period. We have Truthful Out Radio on Friday with Lady Michelle Renouf. On the Monday, instead of Real Britannia, we will have a Radio Albion Roundtable with myself, Grandpa Dan, and Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson looking back over the year. And if there are any shows that we can't actually produce because they're holidays, such as on New Year's Day, Boxing Day, which will be this coming Monday, there will still be new shows that are published. We have some Greatest Britons, some new Greatest Britons that have been uploaded. So do check out the Radio Albion schedules over the Christmas period, because we will still be producing podcasts for you. We understand that the BBC doesn't stop producing its anti-white hatred just because it's Christmas, and of course we know that our listeners will be looking for alternative content to listen to that is positive and talks in a positive way about white people. Well, over the weekend I made a start on the government's hate crime consultancy. You will remember last week I put a link in the article and I advised people to fill in this consultation questionnaire, and it's really lengthy. I mean, it took me 4 hours last night, and I'm still only two-thirds of the way through it, and it needs to be completed by Christmas Eve. And judging from what's going on in this consultancy, I mean, it's scandalous what's going on, really. And of course, it's put in friendly, flowery type language, as if this is all about protecting people. But it's not. It actually does away with some very serious foundations that all of our law system is actually based upon. Essentially, they want to make everybody apart from white heterosexual males protected by hate crime legislation. Members of alternative subcultures, such as goths or, I don't know, furries, asexual people, they want to put all the homosexuals, all the different sexualities, of which there's something like 50 of them, I think, according to Facebook. They want to put them all under these headings. And essentially, that's what it does. Essentially, it gives everybody else, apart from white heterosexual males, protection under hate crime law. And how do they get away with doing that? Well, they don't say that, of course. What they say is that race is a protected characteristic, but we know from experience that if you point out that there is anti-white hatred and it is being directed against the white race, whites are not considered a protected characteristic. So the wording of the law makes it appear as if the white race would be included in this legislation, but in practice, the law is not applied when it happens to whites. And of course, there are so many instances of this. One instance could be this term whiteness that gets used, the study of whiteness. There was even a Tavistock Institute podcast and seminar that was put out over the weekend looking at whiteness. Now, you imagine if we were talking about blackness and saying that we're discussing all the things that black people are known for, all the negative things that black people are known for. And it's similar to saying, well, we're going to be discussing Semitism. We're going to be discussing all the things that are associated with Jews. And of course, then you would be accused of being an anti-Semite. But if you are to say that you're doing studies into whiteness, white privilege, then that is perfectly okay. So we see that there is a double standard there in the actual practice of this law. Now, what this law does is it sets up what this series of laws does, really, is it sets up a two-tier system of justice. Because you have one group of people with protected characteristics who are seen as having more value than the other group of people who don't have the protected characteristics. So if you happen to be a member of a minority and you get mugged, then you can say, well, this mugging, I was attacked, and it was an attack on the fact that I'm a member of this group. If somebody's homosexual, they could say, well, I was mugged because I was a homosexual. And then because of that, the crime will be treated as being much, much more serious than if it was just a white heterosexual male that was mugged. And the only reason for that is because the person, the victim, is a member of a group with protected characteristics. And it doesn't just mean that the crime will be treated as much more serious in the investigation, much more likely to have the crime actually investigated by the police. It means that there will be an increased punishment. And part of these laws, from what I can make out, these changes, they want to make that an aggravating factor in a crime. So it's the equivalent of aggravated assault, the equivalent of that. So pretty serious stuff is the way that they're wanting to actually change this. Now, we already have in law a provision for aggravated crimes. If somebody is seen as particularly weak individually, then that would be taken into consideration when they are working out the sentence or working out the charges. Aggravated normally means somebody's taken somebody by surprise, and maybe they've broken into their house and they're waiting in their house for them when they get back and they attack them. That would be aggravated assault. And the fact that is aggravated means that there would be an extra sentence. There would be extra weight to the sentencing. So we already have the provisions within law to look at the individual circumstances. To then say that because the target of this attack is a member of a protected group, that means the sentence should be that much more lengthy, there should be a much higher punishment, is the equivalent of what we had in Anglo-Saxon times. In Anglo-Saxon times, we had what was called wergild. And depending on which group you were a member of in society, whether you were one of the lords or whether you were one of the churls or you were one of the peasants, there was a different degree of fine that was enacted. If you harmed somebody that was a lord, you had a whopping great fine. If you harmed somebody who was a peasant, the fine was a fairly small fine. And you can extrapolate from that that if we'd had people that were being locked up at that time, if you'd harmed a lord, you would have been locked up for a long time. And if you'd harmed a peasant, you wouldn't have been locked up for so long. And these hate crime laws are reintroducing that system. Now, we did away with that system because it was inherently unfair. And it's even more unfair now when you think that this is being brought in to cover groups that never even existed in the past. We never had a homosexual community in the past. We never had immigrants here in the past. We never had foreigners here in the past. And it's particularly insulting because when you are a host, the last thing you're going to do is attack your guests. And the British people and white people, just white people in particular, are very concerned with being courteous and not harming guests. I mean, we can see that in the way that we make sure that if people can't speak the language, they are the first people that are looked after if they're homeless on the streets. So naturally, we're not the sort of people that are going to be going around attacking people that don't speak the language, foreigners, new people to this country. That is just not something that really goes on. So if it does go on, then there's going to be some kind of reason for it. There will have been an argument between these two people. And in the heat of the argument, violence may have occurred. And what this hate crime legislation now means that because during that heat of that argument, the hostility will be shown by the two people that are fighting. But because that hostility was shown to somebody who is a member of a group with protected characteristics, that will be classified as a hate crime. And the person that wasn't a member of this group with protected characteristics, they will get an extra sentence. This means that we are no longer all equal under the law. And the fact that we are supposed to be equal under the law, that is a maxim of law. That is what all law is built upon. And it is supposed to be that not even a king is exempt from the law. Even the king should be held to the same standards as the rest of the people, the rest of the citizens. This is what the Magna Carta was about. The Magna Carta was about holding the king to the same standards as the rest of society. And with these hate crime laws, we've done away with that. We now have a two-tier legal system that offers extra protections to all these different groups. So if you're a member of these different groups, you get these extra protections, and you don't if you're not a member of that group. That's just one side of the problem with this. Another side of the problem with this is the potential for abuse that there is. As I pointed out just then, if two people are having a fight, one of them is going to be, they're both going to be expressing hostility, yet because one of the people in that fight is a member of a protected group, he can then allege that the other person that he's fighting was showing hostility to him as a member of that group, even if that person wasn't showing hostility to them, even if that person was not even mentioning the characteristics of the group that the person is a member of, they could say that. And just the fact that they have said that, they have to be believed according to the guidelines for this hate crime legislation. If somebody is a member of a group with protected characteristics and they allege that somebody else was being hostile to them, then they just have to be believed. And that is just wide open for abuse. It means that any time there is any encounter, negative encounter between those groups and the white heterosexual male group in the country, that gives them free rein to allege that the encounter was based on hostility and therefore it needs to be treated as a hate crime. Now, last week I was saying, well, would it be any different if they were to protect nationalists under this legislation, because they're talking about protecting different subcultures. And I don't think that's right either. I don't think that is right. We should all have the same protections. We should all be equal under the law. If it's going to benefit one group at the expense of the others, even if you're a member of that group, you should want to turn that down, because being equal under the law is foundational to everything. I mean, it's foundational to democracy as well, where one man equals one vote. And that is also being undermined by this legislation, because the second part of the legislation is all about hate speech, where if you are seen to be hostile, or somebody can interpret what you are saying as being hostile against one of these groups, then they want to turn that into a hate crime. And in this consultation paper, they talk about how much evidence there should be in order to prove that there is hostility there. Now, up until now, they've had to show that there was an intent to stir up hatred, that somebody had an intent on doing that. They were deliberately doing it. They knew what they were doing. They knew that they were inciting violence against one of these groups in their speech. And that's the way that it's always been until now. If you have to actually prove that there was an intent there, then it still leaves a very, very narrow gap where we still have free speech. Because so long as you are being careful with your wording, that it couldn't be misconstrued as encouraging people to act and carry out acts of violence, then you should be able to still criticize certain actions of these groups. Because, for instance, we do see a high crime rate amongst blacks, and blacks are one of these minority groups. If they take away this bit where you have to actually prove intent, then saying that, they could say, well, that's perceived as hostile. I perceive that as hostile. So it could be banned just to point out these statistics. As it is, the way that we have it now, where you have to prove intent, you can say, well, obviously blacks have a much higher propensity towards crime, but the reason for that, the reason why we have so many crimes in this country is because we have so many blacks in our country, and the reason why we have so many blacks in our country is because our government had an immigration policy that brought them into this country, knowing full well that what it would do to the crime rate. And that is not being hostile against blacks, that is being hostile to the government. That is pointing out that it's the government's fault, and the changes we want to see is changes in government and changes in policy. Personally, I don't think we should be trying to change any of these other races. We shouldn't be judging them, we shouldn't be judging blacks, we shouldn't be judging Jews. They are what they are. The only people that we can actually judge are our own people, and we need to be improving the way that our own people behave and think about things, and advocating for changes in the policy by our own governments, rather than blaming any of these minority groups for the way that they behave, because they are just behaving in the way that is natural to them. That is obviously not hostile to them. But one of them could say, ah, but I think that was hostile. I don't like the sound of that. I found that offensive. And then simply because they're a member of a protected group, and the guidance is if they're a member of a protected group and you allege that somebody's committed a hate crime, then that has to be written down as a hate crime. Then it would prevent legitimate criticism of things that are going on in society. So effectively, we would end up with groups in society that we weren't allowed to criticize, that were above all criticism. Again, this is absolutely wide open for abuse. I mean, you can imagine centuries ago when it was illegal to criticize the king, and you couldn't point out that you were unhappy with the laws that the king was bringing in. You couldn't point out that you were unhappy with the taxes. And because of these things, we brought in the Magna Carta, we brought in our constitution, we ended up with democracy, saying that we were going to be ruled by democracy. But democracy only works if you have freedom of speech. The whole point of appealing to the people to see what the people want and the direction that the people wish the government to go, that only works if the people are sufficiently well-informed. And in order to be sufficiently well-informed, you can't have censorship. You can't say, well, you can't talk about these subjects, because how are the people going to be a good judge if they don't actually hear all sides of the story? And talking of judges, when we say to, for instance, an ethnic minority, if you think somebody was being hostile to you, then that is a hate crime, and that's it, that's done and dusted, we'll record that as a hate crime, what you are effectively saying is that the supposed victim in the case is also the judge in the case. You're saying that that victim is capable of judging whether there was hostility in the person that they were interacting with. That is not something it should be up to that person to judge. That should be up to an impartial observer to judge whether there was hostility there. And but these consultation even goes beyond that, because even if there was no hostility there, they can suggest that there was. And they're trying to bring this in, that you no longer need to prove that there was any intent there to incite violence. This is what's going on in Scotland with the hate crime laws in Scotland, where they've said, we don't think you should have to prove that there was an intent to incite hatred. And we also want this law to apply within people's own private homes. So if you're having a dinner party and you're telling a few spicy jokes, that could then be illegal. You could then be prosecuted for telling spicy jokes within your own home. and they could allege somebody who was just reading passages out from the Bible that they were inciting hatred, even though the Bible is about a God of love. You would actually, in actual fact, end up having to ban the Bible if we ended up with this Scottish law. And this consultation paper, this UK government consultation paper, it looks like that's what they're trying to bring in. They're trying to sneak this in, that you no longer have to actually prove there was an intent to incite hatred, which would prevent there from being any criticism of certain government policies. And it even goes one step further than that. It asks whether the people filling the survey in, whether they want to see things such as immigration and asylum covered under the hate crime legislation. And of course, immigration and asylum are not characteristics of people. They're not supposed innate characteristics, such as what ethnicity you belong to, or what sexuality you are, because of course it's alleged that whatever sexuality you are is inborn, it's not caused by culture. So rather than that, it's actually the status that somebody has that's been given them by the government. So in actual fact, it's government policy. So what they're asking for is whether people want to see immigration and asylum put under hate crime laws, which would mean nobody could then criticise the government's immigration policy. Nobody could then criticise the government's response to fake asylum seekers. And for them to be saying that, I mean, it totally destroys the narrative that these hate crime laws are supposedly about protecting these people's feelings and protecting them from incitement to hatred, and if people hear them being criticised, it means that people might carry out a violent attack against them. And how does that square with making it illegal to criticise government policies on immigration and asylum? Again, it goes right against the principle of free speech, which is so important, which is what democracy is built upon, is built upon free speech. And it's built upon us all being equal under the law. Another point worth considering, if they do this and they make it illegal to criticise government immigration policy or government asylum policy, is how can the government then claim that they are governing by consent? If they criminalise dissenting views on government policies, then they are no longer governing by consent. The implications of these hate crime laws, they just totally do away with our constitution, with all our constitutional rights, all our hard fought for constitutional rights are being done away with under the guise of protecting these minorities from violence. Because that's what this boils down to. As I pointed out last week, the reason these laws came in was because of Stephen Lawrence, because apparently, the people that killed Stephen Lawrence were sitting around at home talking about how they wanted to kill a black man. And in law at the time, that wasn't illegal because they were sat at home discussing this. However, making plans, conspiring to kill somebody, that should be illegal. It should be illegal to conspire to kill anyone, regardless of the fact of if they're black or not. But what they decided to do was to make it illegal to incite hatred against minority groups, because they thought that because these people were sitting around talking about it at home, that had some effect on them going out and doing this. But of course, if you're just talking about criminality in one community, say, or you are talking about the suicide rate in the trans community, or you're talking about the rate of disease that there are in the homosexual community, that's got nothing to do with inciting people to violence against these groups. That's all to do with explaining that these groups are not things that should be praised and celebrated, and in actual fact they can have harmful effects on society. That's not saying that these groups should be violently attacked. If anything, it is saying that people should have more sympathy for these groups and the problems that they have. And we should be encouraging less immigration, and we should be looking at the reason why there's been this increase in transgenders and homosexuals. I mean, all we're doing is pointing out that there are negative sides to these parts of society, to these currents in society, and we need to find out ways of dealing with them. Yet with this hate crime legislation, they're trying to say that if you're talking about these subjects, then that means you're inciting hatred that could lead to violence, that could lead to killing these people. So what we can see is that this has expanded from when they first brought these laws in. There's been a mission creep, as it were. And it's crept up so much now that part of this consultation is that they want to appoint hate crime commissioners. And what these hate crime commissioners would do, what their job would be, is to find hate crime everywhere. And we've already seen that it's gone from actually talking about killing somebody to simply criticizing these groups. So what these hate crime commissioners would do, they would be continually pushing the envelope and trying to expand this definition more and more and more and create more and more hate crimes, basically, where there were none before, by enforcing stricter and stricter speech codes. And this is a really slippery slope that we have embarked upon. And thankfully, there's this group Civitas that are investigating this and that are speaking up for us. And this consultation paper, it is asking for the public and representatives of groups to fill this consultation paper in. But the problem is, we don't have anyone else that I can think of other than Civitas that are really looking into this and advocating on our behalf. I mean, you would think that the government would appoint somebody to speak up for the group that is not included in these groups with protected characteristics, somebody that would be speaking up for the white heterosexual male, the rest of society that don't get these special protections. But of course, anybody that tries to set up a group like that then gets accused of being racist, white supremacist, neo-Nazi. They get all these attacks that are outlawed in the reverse when people say the equivalent about these minority groups. So again, we see we have this two-tier society. These hate crime laws are absolutely abominable, what they have done. They've eaten away right at the very roots of our legal system and turned it on its head so that the victims and other judges, so that we have certain groups in society that cannot be criticised, and certain groups in society whose members have more value than the rest of society, and who can have their crimes investigated with that much more weight and gravity to them than everybody else. It is totally the opposite of how our society started out and how our ancestors envisioned them. And they've done away with all these rights that we fought for and that we're still taught about in schools, the Magna Carta and the Constitution. Well, I do recommend that people have a look at this this consultation paper. And if you get the time, please do fill it in. The more people that fill it in that can see what is going on and that can point this out, the better, because it may be that a lot of people that are actually looking through this consultation paper have never heard these arguments, because you won't hear these arguments on the television. You won't hear these arguments from the government. The only people you will hear these arguments from are nationalists and free speech advocates. And the people that are doing this consultation paper in the government, they've never heard what we have to say, because we're being censored everywhere and we're accused of being all these nasty names all the time. So the more people that actually fill this consultation paper in and put these points on there, the better, because it means that they will see it. And if there are any good people that are involved in doing this consultation paper, then maybe, just maybe, they might take our points into account. Anyway, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion. Talk Radio for the nationalist community.